Welcome back to Mind Your Body. This is Ori Krug, and today I'm going to share with you a video slash podcast on how movement changes patterns. This is a question that came up in my membership, the Lasting Love Sisterhood, where we've been doing a lot of movement-based explorations around ending patterns of nitpicking, blaming, letting go of control, becoming vulnerable instead of aggressive or passive aggressive, and more. And some of the sisters who we call each other sisters since it's a sisterhood. Some of them asked, wanted to know more. I wanted to understand more of the science behind how is this movement changing my patterns? So I made this video for them and I wanted to share it with you too. You'll notice that in the video, I address the audience or listeners as sisters. If that doesn't resonate with you, please feel free to disregard that. But all the research and the information is the same. There's also a couple of minutes where I go over what is possible in the membership structure program versus what is possible in my core signature Let Love In program, because I really thought it was important to distinguish the difference between changing patterns through movement versus healing trauma and rewiring the nervous system through movement. Yes, those things complement each other and they work beautifully in conjunction with each other, but changing patterns through movement does not mean that you're healing trauma or rewiring the nervous system. So you'll hear a little bit more about that if that just piqued your curiosity. And if you do get curious about either program, currently as I'm recording this podcast, both programs are closed at the moment, but you can always look into it and get on an interest slash wait list. And I'll put the links to those programs in the episode show notes. All right, let's do this. This is Mind Your Body, a dance movement therapy perspective on the integration of our emotional, cognitive, physical, and spiritual aspects of our being into one more aware and whole existence. Hey, sisters. So let's talk about how movement creates new patterns, new ways of behaving, and can really enhance to the deepest level your interactions and connections in your relationships. So this is a question that I got recently from a few of the sisters here about, well, okay, we're doing all of this these different movements to stop nitpicking, to let go of control, to become more vulnerable instead of passive aggressive. But, what if it kind of is like, what if I don't really understand? What if I don't get it? I'm doing these movements, but I'm not sure I understand how it's going to change the way I show up in my world. And so there's a few caveats that I want to start with. The first thing is everybody experiences this kind of intentional therapeutic healing movement differently. So where one person can feel a shift right away of like, oh my gosh, like I felt that let go, or oh my gosh, I just thought of like a memory just popped up that I had never been able to access before and I'm letting it go now. Like it can happen like this, where, those are going to be the people who are not looking for an answer, who are not really needing an explanation or some psychoeducation about it, because they just like, they've experienced it. And even for those who have experienced it really quickly, it doesn't happen that quickly with every single movement experience or movement exploration that they do. Other people, and this is the more of the majority, it takes more practice and consistency and just doing it over and over again, retraining your brain, rewiring your nervous system, rewiring the way that you respond in order to feel and see these changes in your world. And that leads me to the second caveat is, depending on how you're doing all of this, will determine how deep and how much the changes are actually impacting your life. So here in the sisterhood, this is a membership program where we only meet for session once a month. And the rest of it is all DIY through my videos and my instructions and also the support of the group here. And so if you are behaving in certain ways or reacting in certain ways in your relationships due to unresolved trauma stored in your body and nervous system, then the movement videos here will help you. The sessions will help you. But if you are constantly impulsively reacting before you can even tell yourself to do the behavior differently because of old trauma, then the sisterhood is not designed to heal that trauma and solve that issue. It will still help you gain awareness, and it will still help you grow and shift in certain ways. But if the core issue is that I can't even in the moment of getting triggered, I can't even remember to do these new things, then that's where you know you need more support, which is what my Let Love In program is designed to do, is to heal your trauma and rewire your nervous system so that not only you learn new behavior patterns through movement, but you can actually implement and integrate them in a way that truly lasts, in a way that is well-rounded throughout your life. And this leads me to the third caveat, which is we're not just talking about, oh, any kind of movement, I can dance in my room, or I can, you know, do a yoga class, or it's really important that you understand that when we're talking about how movement changes patterns, it's far beyond anything that you can truly do on your own. And yes, in the sisterhood, there's a component of doing a lot of it on your own, but there is no component that doesn't require you to also interact and share with the other sisters. And that's intentional. And there's actually research about this, which I decided to do, you know, some more recent research on how movement creates new patterns. So there's a lot of research and has been a lot of research for a while that moving in synchrony with others actually helps your ability to experience and understand what others feel without confusing what you feel versus what they feel. So they call this the self-other expansion. As you can see, I'm looking at my notes here. Basically, let's put that into a real life example. If my partner has a horrible day at work and they come home and they're upset, when you don't have this self-other expansion, you immediately become upset. Like their upset becomes your upset. And you can't separate that they're feeling upset, but you're actually like, you actually had a good day. You're feeling your own way. You're feeling great today. But as soon as you feel and sense they're upset, it creates upset in you. But moving in synchrony gives us the ability to see my partner, even ask, right? Maybe I don't understand right away, but ask and try to understand without feeling threatened, without feeling like, oh no, I'm really upset too. Or, you know, maybe it's my fault, right? It's being able to understand and have compassion and respond in a way where you can tend or take care or support their feelings without basically making it about you or you're upset or worrying about what you did wrong. Moving in synchrony also has been shown to increase self-esteem. So the way you see yourself becomes more pleasant and enhanced. And then there was, I was actually surprised because I had known about this research from several years ago, but then there was new research that just came out in 2021 that said even just observing movement in synchronicity increased increased skin conductance, which was that the observer's skin momentarily became a better conductor of electricity. And so in more simple terms, it decreased the distress in the observer's psychological state. They attributed more social closeness when they saw people moving synchronously together than people not moving in synchrony together. So basically, moving together brings us together. It makes us feel closer to other people. And so this is the distinction where if you're just doing all this movement stuff and any movement stuff on your own, and you're not doing it in a relationship, it has a significantly less impact in bringing you closer to your relationships, of being able to feel that closeness, of being able to relate in a healthy, boundaried way where I can see your feelings, I can support your feelings without feeling threatened about my own feelings or without taking that on and then making it about me when in reality, it's important for me to be there for you and not being self-absorbed in my own feelings. So those are the caveats. And then that's also partly what the research is about, how movement changes patterns or changes the way you relate to yourself and the way that you relate to others. There was also a Forbes article that recently came out where the writer took different pieces of evidence from a Harvard study and some other studies and had proposed, so this is not like, you know, proven research or anything. His name is Brett Steenbarger. I hope I said his name right. He said, in a very important sense, all intentional movement can be transformed into dance. By placing the body in unique states, we create pathways for fresh mindsets. Perhaps the best way to achieve our ideals is to first cultivate them physically. Now, again, this is just him proposing based on the research that he found, but this is really the core of what we're doing here in the sisterhood, which is we're taking themes, right? We're taking letting go of control. We're taking being more free, ending patterns of nitpicking and blaming, becoming more vulnerable. And we're trying all that on in our bodies first. We're not sitting here discussing like, okay, yeah, I want to be more vulnerable. So the next time I'm, you know, facing my partner in a discussion, or the next time I have to talk to my boss, I'm just going to be more vulnerable. I'm going to speak softer, or I'm going to, you know, keep my body softened or whatever it is, right? Like that's talking about what you're going to do, but we're actually practicing. I don't even want to use the word practicing. We're actually becoming these new ways of being before we even try it on the real world. You're trying and feeling in your body what it's like to lose, to loosen control, to be more free, because your body has been everybody's bodies until the day you decide to physically change your patterns, the way you hold emotions, the way you interact with people in the world. Until the day you decide to change all that through your body, everyone will be, you know, basically stuck in the same patterns physically. I mean, we're just so used to doing the same old thing. It's like when you learn to ride a bike, a certain way, and you cannot ride a bike for 20 years. And then when you pick up, you know, when you get on a bike again after those 20 years, it might be a little wobbly at first, but your body knows exactly what to do. It's just like, this is exactly what happens when you're in a confrontation. You automatically like hold all of this control or this tension in your body or whatever it is for you. So starting to bring awareness into that, like, oh, this is what it feels like. This is what it feels like to hold on to control. You can pinpoint that in person. You can pinpoint that, I mean, in real life when it happens, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that from practicing it on my own. And then when you can also practice letting go of that in a way that's comfortable for you. See, this is where so many unqualified movement-based or body-based or somatic practitioners are getting it wrong and potentially doing more harm than good, is they don't help you they don't help you let go of control in a way that works uniquely for you. People will be like, ah, oh, just let go, shake it out, like, you know, exhale and just let go. And it's like, these are just blanket these are blanket tips. This is not, they're not seeing you. They're not giving you different options of what might work for you. As you can tell, it makes me really frustrated because there's such lack of training where people are working with people's bodies and it's really sensitive and it's, yeah, okay. And rant for a second. It's important to really go back and do it over and over again, learning these new movements from someone who's qualified, from someone who can help you learn the best way for you. So when you practice letting go of control, like a lot of things came up for a lot of the sisters, like, oh, well, when I was trying to let go of control, it didn't work for me to, you know, to drop my arm, but when I drop my torso and my head, like I could really feel it. So everyone's going to have a different experience. And so even that is its own stage of this process. And so then when you go into your real life, you know, your real life relationships and you're like, oh yeah, I'm feeling the control. And then you're like, okay, well, what worked for me? And I'm saying this, you know, as a cognitive conscious thing, but actually the more you do it, the more it's just like your body knows what to do. Just like your body knows how to ride that bike. It knows how to let go of control in a way that works for you. So it takes repetition, even for those, like I said in the beginning, some people do these, you know, do my movement videos in the sisterhood or even in Let Love In. And they're like, oh, like I felt something. They still need to practice. They still need to consistently do it to feel a lasting shift, right? Because everyone could have an aha moment and it's beautiful and it's meaningful and it's deep. But if you don't integrate it or apply it into your daily life on a long-term basis, the change doesn't happen. So, you know, whether you feel a shift or not for any of the movement videos that we do or for any of the sessions that we do, you still need to practice it to fully change patterns. Another way, another way is that this is more of a long-term change, I would say, through the sisterhood, whereas in Let Love In, in a more immersive, deep dive experience, you'll learn this faster. But either way, another way that movements change patterns is that through just building this relationship with yourself, not just through your body, but through movement, you will learn your body's preferences. You will learn how your body really prefers to move and has always preferred to move. Like I know I just love being like slow and indulgent and like indirect and like just floaty. And one of the ways this shows up in my life is where it could potentially be a problem area where it has been in the past is like, I really like to take my time. I really like to just like take it slow in the morning. Of course I can't always do that now anymore. Most of the time I can't because I've got a baby, but where I can do that in my life, I will. So if we're, you know, if Aaron and I have plans and we're going out, like, oh, I just want to take my time and indulge in the getting ready process. And like, I don't even have that much to do. I don't even wear that much makeup. And I like my outfits are very simple, but I still just want to like take my time. And he's gotten really frustrated because he's like, come on, let's go. Like why? Cause I'm always late because of this. And I could get into a place where I'm just like beating myself up and I'm like, why can't I just get my shit together? Why can't I move quickly? You know, I can get to this place in my business too, but I actually embrace and understand this part of myself. A former client of Let Love In, who's popping in my head this moment, she had discovered this. So many clients do discover this in general, is like, she really loves to slow down and indulge too, but her family, like when they go out, they like to move and like, come on, let's go. And she's like, but I wanted to, like, I just want to like slow down and yeah, take my time. And Aaron and I will also kind of get into, you know, bump heads about that where we're just taking a walk and he like walks a little faster and is more direct and like is thinking about the end destination. And I'm like, like looking all around. Oh, look over there. That's really cool. And he makes fun of me for this at this point. Like we laugh about it together at this point. But sometimes it creates tension because he wants to like, he's just thinking of the destination. He's direct. He's more quick. And I'm like, like, let's take in all of this stuff around before we get to, where are we getting to? Oh yeah, that place. And so, you know, I understand this about myself and I can assert that this is something that I need. Great. If you want to just walk fast and get there, you can walk ahead of me if you want, or we can leave earlier and you can walk slowly with me. Sometimes I'll compromise if it's important and if it's okay with me and be like, all right, like I'm with you, let's walk fast. But I don't know if this sounds really simple, but it's huge because it's all of these little things in relationships that create tension. That's like, why are you doing this? I don't know. You know, and it's like when you get to learn what your movement preferences are, AKA how you prefer to cope and behave and just show up and live in your world. Not only do you understand yourself better, you can let your partner understand yourself better. You can, you know, you can let whoever else understand you better and assert your needs and set your boundaries. And not only can you understand yourself better once you have that, but you can see other people more clearly. I can see my husband, Aaron, he just wants to go. He's just really focused. I can see that in his movement and I can see how that's different with me. And that comes back to that research on moving in synchronicity is like, I can tell that at myself, I like to be this way and that he likes to be that way. And it doesn't mean I have to become him or I have to do what he's doing or that he has to do what I'm doing, but we can work together to figure it out. So as you go through all of these movement experiences through the sisterhood, you will come to learn. You will come to learn, you know, by observing your videos and you really should be posting more videos, as many as you can, moving, not talking. Even if they're like a minute long, you will pick up on your preferences. You will pick up on your patterns and movement. So yeah, that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing as well. And then, you know, in sessions, we move in synchronicity too. So all that research about moving in synchronicity creates shifts, creates changes. And then trying to think if there's anything else, how movement changes patterns. I think that's pretty much it. And I just want to reiterate the importance of consistency and repetition. Okay. So, and not only that is something that I said earlier to a sister before, she was saying like, wow, I thought I was really connected to my body and now I'm realizing that I'm not. And I always just, when I do your prompts, I just want to figure it out. I just want to change it. I just want to hit the spot. And it's like, the more you try with your mind to figure it out, to control it, to fix it, to resolve it, to analyze it, you are actually doing the opposite of what you want. You're trying to use your mind to connect with your body or to change something with your body. And you actually need to let your mind take a back seat and allow your body to lead. Ironically, the more you let your body lead, the more you will hit the spot, which I don't even really like that term because it's not like our bodies are always evolving and moving and changing. So there is no spot, but you know, it's really hard because this is a trauma pattern to always want to figure it out, to always want to understand all of this stuff in the mind takes you away from your body. And it's a trauma pattern because it protects you from really being in your body, which is where you need to be to shift these patterns truly in a way that lasts. So just try to let your mind take a back seat. And the repetition of that, of being in your body without your mind taking a front seat, creates a world of change in itself. Just it will let you go to places and in being able to connect your body that you have never been able to before. So, you know, you can either notice the thoughts or notice the words that are coming up in your mind and then acknowledge them and try to like, and then bring your focus back to your body. Or for a lot of people with trauma, that doesn't work. It's not enough. So what I suggest is that whatever you're doing as a starting point, you narrate that really awkwardly in your body. Like, I'm moving my head down and now I'm moving my head to the side and then bringing my head back up into a circle and like just narrating everything you're doing with your body to, you know, you're still, cause you're meeting your need to use your mind, but you're putting the focus on your body and eventually needing that less and less and less, where you don't have to be so intentional or obvious about narrating, but you're just kind of there, like your mind and body are more integrated. So yeah, that is about it for now. That was about all the research that I found so far. It's not something that's like widely researched, unfortunately, but let me know if this was helpful for you in understanding. Let me know if it makes sense. And if you have any questions, let me know in the comments below. And I will either make another video or I'll respond to you based on my ability to respond to your specific question. All right, sisters, I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.